What's going on, y'all? We are here live at
the
Melanin
Market
Experience Show. And we are here talking about some real life things concerning our culture and the melanin market. But the first thing we want to talk about today and what our really subject is about the back to black. What was this thing that people talk about called Black Wall Street? So we want to give our brother Corey X a little time to give us some history on what Black Wall Street used to be.
Well, just a little quick recap of the Black Wall Street movement, but there was a time in history when we was segregated, you know, and in that segregation, the circulation of the money was a powerhouse. Hmm. And there was over 60 towns created in our country that were black, that were considered Black Wall Street. The biggest ones that we all know to refer to is Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they had over 600 businesses. Matter of fact, I want to get that. We want to get the language right. 600 businesses, 21 churches, 21 restaurants,
wow,
30 grocery stores,
wow,
2 movie theaters, 6 private planes,
whoa,
plus a hospital, bank, post office, their own schools, libraries, and you know, they were getting it, y'all. So in that community, the money never came out of their neighborhood. It was in the community 365 days of the year. It just stayed. So when that money was in their community, it was just, they had nothing else to do but build and build and build.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they made a lot of enemies in, you know, across town. White folk were watching them. They were coming back from war and they didn't have what we had.
Wow.
So there was a black man hit on a white girl. It was a big uproar that led to a riot when they actually burned the city down.
So let me get this clear. Before Black Wall Street, I would say I won't say demolished. What's the word I'm looking for? Before I would say the people that got jealous in a way tore it all down. What exactly happened? That's exactly what happened, where somebody was trying to talk to somebody? Like,
rumor has it, strong rumors, that it was a black man hitting on a white girl.
Wow.
That started the uproar. But there was already tension going on.
Exactly. I got you.
White folk was going down to Greenwood trying to get loans, and they weren't getting them. So they was already pissed.
Wow. That sound like us. Except us tearing down somebody, tearing down,
right,
you know.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, that sounds familiar without us tearing down the white people's neighborhoods.
Right.
That's
right.
Really what it sounds like. So they got mad because they couldn't get loans, and black men was hitting on white women, which is free country, I mean.
Right.
I got you.
That time, it wasn't
like
so
free.
They
buff and they women. That's the problem.
In the 30s, and we all know, as our ancestors know, it was a different culture at that time.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't even go and live in the same neighborhood, so we were segregated. So now, that wasn't a common thing. What we see now was not so common back then.
So how long was, you said in Tulsa, Alabama?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was the premier, I guess, place where a lot of black circulation was going on.
That was like Atlanta now?
That's like the Atlanta.
Gotcha. Okay. Because we're breaking it down because we're all still learning about just Black Wall Street as a whole.
Right.
So I know you're older than us, Corey, and you've been a community activist for a while.
Right.
So it's definitely good to have that information clear, even for the people that's listening.
Right.
Because a lot of people feel like they know, but they don't know everything. They don't know all the details. I heard of it, but I don't really know all the details.
Yeah.
Right. So how long was it around before it got tore up?
Or you can give us an estimate. You know, everything doesn't have to be 100% accurate.
It was years they were building. The whole movement was around since after slavery. Mm. When slavery was over, it was very uncommon for white men to be working. So black men were the builders in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even see a hammer in a white man's hands. So that's when the unions and those organized labors were created. They date back to after slavery. Hmm. So we went with that knowledge and started building with our Native American brothers, because Black Wall Street was like a collaboration with the Native Americans, and there was oil money and stuff like that. So,
so was that the name of it back then, or that's what people just as time went along started to deem it as the Black Wall Street? Was that like kind of socialized, or was it actually what they went by back then?
No, that, they were considered Black Wall Street. Gotcha. Like, you know, Greenwood was considered Black Wall Street. If you read the, you can go into the book. I mean, they were ahead of their time. They were trying to create ways to connect with other black towns. Mm. They were talking about creating a debit card system back in the early 1900s.
Wow.
Facts.
Wow. Nice. Wow. Wow.
Nice. So kind of explain to everybody, you know, what it was the power of having a community that was of all black-owned businesses. What kind of power did that create?
Well, Brother Arrington, it creates a lot. You know, there's different angles to it. One of the most things, it was that village thing that we talk about. Mm-hmm. There was nobody left behind when we're all building. There's something mm-hmm. for you and everybody to do in this community, mm-hmm. as well as you are a, is what I see. If I go to the inner city right now and see drug dealing and hoopers and all that, that's what I see. That's the culture. Mm-hmm. Well, if the culture, if I see my brother is in old heads building in business suits and we clean and family, man, woman, child, that's the culture.
Wow, that's something powerful to think about.
That is.
They just saw great examples of excellence all around. As a young person aspiring on what they think is cool, what they think is a thing to do, what they want to aspire to do.
Just think about growing up now and being able to see that right now. Right. And I feel like we get a little bit of splashes of it and stuff like that. Right. But imagine growing up in that time where you was just, your grandma was, your first grandma was a slave. Mm-hmm. And then you come out of it and you see all these different people who came from nothing create something, and you're seeing millionaires being created mm-hmm. every year. Mm-hmm. That's powerful, man.
I mean, I think if I had to give a thought on it, you know, as far as the power of something being all black owned, is that we can create our own story. You know, not have to worry about being told no because of how we look, or you know, we may not be in the same financial class or social class as somebody else. And at the end of the day, we have to create the opportunities for our own culture to advance. And I think that it also creates the power of what you said in another, you know, podcast we did before, a show we had before, about the percentage that is spent amongst the black community when it comes to money. And just the economics of black community is not as strong as it could be. So everything black owned, I mean, you had no choice but to get that detergent from somebody that looks like you, or that toothbrush from somebody that looks like you, or that service to clean your house from somebody that looks like you.
And you did say, like, now in 2019, from the last show, we'll just kind of bring it back on, you did say that now black people are only spending at 2% with each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when Black Wall Street was going on in Tulsa, what was the percentage then?
It was 100%, brother. So when that economy was 100%, you know, if we were to take that economy now, as you, the 2019, and spent a third of that, they had 100% circulation in the community. Mm-hmm. If we had a third of that, it would create millionaires for every single last one of us. Mm-hmm. The money is, as a people, is $1.3 trillion. You don't understand how much money that really is. Mm-hmm. As a black man, $1.3 trillion would be the 15th richest country in the world. There's 195 countries. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a country, would I have a government, I would have land and produce and everything. I'm my own country. Mm-hmm. Well, black people as a whole, we have that type of power.
Wow. Mm. And we're only spending 2% of it with us right now.
And it's uncomparable to any other race, ethnicity. So that there's a debate or a dialogue and say, oh, you know, we should support everyone and love everyone. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question black people love everyone.
Right. And what I love about the story, actually, I guess the principle we can also take outside of that is that it was not tore up or broken down based from internally. It was from externally. So it showed the internal structure that people understood that we need to bind together and collaborate and have love amongst each other and support each other, which is why it was flourishing. It only didn't continue to flourish because it was an outside source, from my understanding, right?
Facts.
Right. So that's a prime example as to what happens when we do support each other and we come together, which kind of leads to the next thing, like understanding we all, you know, have the Melanin Market and things, the platform we've created and that you are a part of, also understanding this understanding of the Black Wall Street used to be. Why is the Melanin Market, would you consider it to be, and if so, why, the resurgence of this Black Wall Street concept and way of living?
One of the things that was important in that time was that, I guess, that branding and marketing of seeing Black excellence. Mm-hmm. So that Melanin Market is the rebranding and marketing of Black excellence. Mm. When you come through there, we've had older people tell us, and you guys all bear witness, mm-hmm. oh my God, that was like heaven. They haven't seen that type of spirit or energy in a long time in our community. Mm. So when they see that now, it brings back memories of times when we did have that, you know, Harlem Renaissance. I mean, there was heavy movements mm-hmm. of Black excellence.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, and that makes me think about something, with the Melanin Market, you spoke about the spirit. Do you think that it was just all financial back then, or was it the spirit, the emotion, and the financial that all played together? Because not just was it a city that was flourishing amongst financially, but it was a certain spirit behind the city that caused them to advance and keep advancing with each other.
They say the spirit was actually too much because there was warnings at Tulsa, Oklahoma that they didn't take heed. You know, our brothers was getting it on, you know, and just like Black people, we bring style. Do you know that the first car was created at Tulsa, Oklahoma that Ford took and then he manufactured, because Ford gets credit for the car manufacturer, not the car maker. Right. That was us.
Wow.
Clean, but
it's crazy.
You know, it was just outstanding. It's like bar none what they was doing back then.
Well, I asked that question because one thing you said about the Melanin Market and the resurgence is the fact of the spirit. And I know one thing, you know, people ask what sets us apart from other platforms. I think it's a certain spirit that we give people beyond just the financial aspect, but a certain sense of pride, morale, the working together, the love that they feel when they come in. Just like you said, older, you know, to younger, the little kid, you know. I was telling y'all about a story, a girl that goes to my church, she's like 17. And I told her, I was like, the Melanin Market's coming back. She was like, the Melanin Market's coming back up? She was like, I gotta put that in my phone. And this is a 17-year-old girl. I'm like, well, I didn't know it was that intriguing to her, you know, as a 17-year-old. Yeah. I'm like, that, and she wasn't putting on no air, not trying to make it seem like hype, more hype than what it was. She was like, I need to put that in my phone. She said, what day was that? I was like, you know, March 23rd. She was like, yeah, I'm gonna be there. She came with her mother the first time. Her mother was a vendor, and she came with her mother the first time. She was like, I loved it, you know? Cool. So I think we're giving that spirit that transcends ages and transcends color lines, you know? And so that's why I asked that question as far as the analogy and the common thread between that Black Wall Street and the Melanin Market itself is not just the financial, it's the spirit behind it that we created for people.
Facts.
So if you had to give people a few things to think about as far as how they can help with this resurgence of the Black Wall Street as just a supporter, what would you say to them that they may need to do their part in helping that to be possible?
Like my brother Mar says, just share. Right. You know, pass the information on.
Boop,
just
boop, boop.
Call auntie, uncle, and let them know that, you know, there's a platform that you could be a part of that will help build you economically as well as build your spirit up. So, you know, we've all got to do our part in this revolution of the Black dollar.
And just to butt in what Corey X is saying, before we even got to this part of the conversation, we said something about little kids seeing business owners mm-hmm. and being in that amongst people that's actually doing something positive. Think about what the Melanin Market is doing for the young people that maybe don't know where they want to go. Maybe mm-hmm. Maybe they can't shoot a basketball like Jordan, right?
Right.
Maybe they can't dance. They like J-Lo, and maybe they can't do all that to make it to that type of arena. They may do. They parents might put them in that, you know, activities. But we already know there's so many talents that you can have when it comes to business mm-hmm. that you may can be a, like I said, you can grow up and be an entrepreneur. You can grow up and not only get into the medical field, you can own a practice or you can like fashion and stuff, but you can own a clothing store. There's right. so much ways of business ownership that the youth could see through the melanin market. I mean it's really like a modern day Black Wall Street. If I was a little kid, even me being a grown man at this point, I still look at it mm-hmm. as an inspiration because I didn't experience Black Wall Street.
Right.
But when we come on and we put together this expo, well we call it an experience, mm-hmm. it gives people that Black Wall Street experience right. just in a modern day term, right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just powerful for the youth to see so many people not selling drugs, not cutting corners with LLCs, EIN numbers, business cards, logos, making sales, being happy,
right,
producing those sales and excelling in their business afterwards. Like, think about Samaya Soaps.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What, she like 10 years old or something?
Right.
She like 10 years old, been selling soaps that she put together, and she really has enough energy at this point to say, you know what, Mom, I want to be a business owner. Mm-hmm. Just from not even before us, because she met us with that business.
Right.
But think about how the platform mm-hmm. excels her spirit, where it's like, yo, I know I can do this because I did this with the Melanin Market 3 times already.
Right. And made money.
Right. So, Mom, what kind of soaps do I get now? Or right. I got feedback. So we're putting people in the field. Mm-hmm. And they're succeeding in a way that a college can't teach you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, go back to what separates the melanin market. Another thing, the spirit, and just like, you know, Marwee said, is the young people, because our focus is really on everybody's benefits, but it is really focusing on the young people to build the entrepreneurial mindsets, because the temperature of anything, the atmosphere of anything is really determined based on the younger crowd of that entity, because they have the life, the vitality. You're able to form their minds. And when you can form their minds to think whatever, whether good or bad, that will begin to determine that next generation and what happens with that or does not happen. So if we can catch them that early, you know, just like with that blackwashing back then, teaching them that concept of what blackwashing is, because they haven't lived life before 10 or 12 years ago, you know, or 7 years ago, 8 years mm-hmm. ago. So the only thing they know is what we're telling them and showing them. Mm-hmm. We can definitely bring that whole concept and that whole love and spirit back, because they'll be the ones to help make sure it comes back.
Right. Facts.
And right. with the Melanin Market, that's our whole gist, to create those avenues, give that information, the platforms that build these young people with that mindset. So I definitely agree with both of those points, man, together.
So at the end of the day, this is why this episode is called Back to Black.
Yeah.
Because we got to get back to that Black Wall Street mindset. Like I said, we was at 100% exchanging a dollar, 100%. Mm-hmm. We're at 2% now. And Corey, real quick, break down how much millionaires can be created if we circulate the dollar more within a year.
Just within 2 years, if it increased 30%, every Black person in America would be a millionaire. That's facts, because that's how much money is coming into our hands.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Within 2 years, if we increase it by 28% where we at right now, you will be a millionaire.
Because the reality is, the fact, it's not that Black people don't spend money. It's that they don't spend it with people that look like them.
Exactly. Facts.
Because as you always say, the Black people make up how much of our economy as far as percentage of spending and things like that? As far as the Black dollars.
They spend 2% with Black people. Black dollars spend 2%.
But, and so everything else is everybody else.
3% goes to a non-Black person, like, you know, our Indian brothers and sisters. A lot of alcohol and stuff like that. So, you know, they own the liquor stores and hotels. And 3% goes to them. 95% goes to white Caucasian.
Exactly. So that shows it's being spent. It's just not being spent in the right direction.
Come on,
y'all. To help us help our own selves.
Come on.
So when we understand these things, that's the reason why we want to have this show, to really make some things clear as to what used to be, how we got away from that, and where we are now, and what's causing us to be where we are now.
Yeah.
How to look at ourselves as a change, and what we need, you know, can self-examine and say, dang, you're right. I could have supported such and such.
Exactly.
But I didn't. Exactly. Or I know my cousin does, but I didn't. You know what I mean? And you go and trust, and we put so much trust in these other brands and stuff.
Come on.
For the falsified reasons, because truly honest, some of these other brands have just as many flaws as the ones we're talking about we're trying to be so critical of.
Exactly.
But people just don't, in our mind, we already conditionalized that, oh, their flaw is more enhanced than this other person's flaw. Mm. You know, and we've been just trained to think that way. So you have to deprogram yourself to know, like, yo, I can spend my money with my brother. They working out their stuff just like anybody else working out anything else. They can get past that. They got a good product. I'm going to just take it, support, and help to start circulate that black dollar again. Because we got to go back to black.
We got to. And stop being so hard.
Yeah.
Stop. If you're a black person listening or watching this, can we stop being so hard on each other, yo?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to take my glasses off because it's getting to a point now when I hear these numbers, think about it. That don't make you feel some type of way? Mm-hmm. Like, if you black and you hear these numbers right now, you got to be like, dang. Mm-hmm. I'm only getting my hair done. That's the only black business I'm supporting, but I still got to go get my nails. And I got, oh, I don't like the way I did. Well, find somebody who like to do it. A matter of fact, if you don't like it that much, create an entrepreneur who can.
Facts.
Put people on.
Facts.
Like, that's how I'm coming. It's like, if I like these are Versace glasses. This ain't black on. These are Versace glasses, right? So if I know that I'm going to have a fetish for frames and that nature,
mm-hmm.
at this point, I will dig deep to find out who has black on frames.
Right.
Just as an example. Now, everything under the water might not have to be black on, but can we at least get half of it?
And this is a prime example.
You know what I'm saying?
My car still isn't detailed yet. I've been trying to get detailed for the past 2 months to 3 months. And maybe one of y'all out there might have one. But I've been looking for a black-owned detail company because I'm not getting my car done until I find one.
Right, exactly.
And it creates opportunity for those to step up and create that void that we're missing.
Just speak on it, right. That's what I'm saying. Speak on it. If they don't have it, like, I don't know a black-owned eyeglass company. But if y'all know, tell me.
Right.
So I can share it. So we can reach out.
Right.
Let's just continue to create conversation so we can have change because these numbers is ridiculous.
Right.
It's bad.
Right.
And we spend money. Income tax just happened. Ask yourself, how much money did you spend in your community or with somebody that you know versus the malls and the brands that don't even do anything back for us? So that's something to think about, y'all.
Right. And so listen, this show has been all about back to black.
That's it.
Where we were at, where we've come to, and how we can get back to where we were before and even stronger. You've heard it here first, your man, the Billion Brand.
It's your boy, Mar Weez.
Corey X is in the building.
And this is the Melanin Market Experience Show. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And before you stay tuned, Arrington, could you hit us with a last quote? It could be your quote. What? You got a last quote for him?
My last quote.
You got a little last quote for them to think on? Because I always got quotes in the tuck. You got a quote?
I always got quotes. Build your brand and build it so strong that nobody can take it down.
There it is. Build your brand forever so strong that nobody can take it down. It's kind of like Black Wall Street. They might have burnt it down, right? But mm-hmm. look what the fire they put on us.
Yeah.
The Melanin Market, baby.
There you go. Follow themelaninmarket.com. Holla at y'all.
Holla at y'all.